Let's now turn our direction to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 20, which again is found in your Three Forms of Unity books. Lord's Day 20 is on page 30, and it begins a new section on the Holy Spirit. And each of these Lord's Days summarizes teachings, the main teachings of the Bible. And this Lord's Day will focus on the person of the Holy Spirit. So what does the Bible teach about the Holy Spirit? And let's respond to the question. Question 53. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that He is co-eternal with God the Father and the Son. Second, that He is also given unto me by true faith, makes me a partaker of Christ and all His benefits, comforts me, and shall abide with me forever. Brothers and sisters, as we think about the Holy Spirit, it's hard for us at times to think of Him as a person. And one of those reasons is because of the names of each of the three persons of the Trinity, right? The Father, we can have a concept of, even though God doesn't have a body, but conceptually that word Father helps us to understand what His role is. The Son, the only one who has taken on flesh out of the three persons. We have at least an idea that He is a person. He has a will. He thinks. But the Holy Spirit altogether is sometimes a bit harder to grasp that He is a person. But the Bible does proclaim that very clearly, especially in contrast to many other religions, other even cults that base their religion on someone in the Bible. I think of the Jehovah's Witnesses. When you read their New World Translation, and the verse 1, right, Genesis 1, the first words, God created the heavens, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. No problem there, right? But then it talks about how this, in our translation, faithful translation, it says, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. But when you read the New World Translation, it says the active force. Because they don't believe the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. They only believe in that God is one person, or only one in every way. And so when you go throughout the whole Old Testament or in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is either not capitalized or it's replaced with the phrase active force. So it's this impersonal power, force thing that hovers around or is sent around to do God's bidding. But when we read the scriptures, that's so far from the truth. When Christ talks about the Holy Spirit, He says that He is our comforter. Paul talks about how talks about how we grieve the Holy Spirit when we sin. You can't grieve an impersonal thing any more than you can offend a fan or a box or anything else that's impersonal, inactive, right? You grieve the Holy Spirit because He is a person. He has a will. He has a role. But here's the interesting thing to know about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is glorified. He is exalted when our focus is on Christ. And the more we understand the work of the cross, when we draw hope in the power of His resurrection, when we are caused to be in all of His faithful promise to be with us to the end of the age, when the peace of Christ rules our heart, that's when the Holy Spirit is exalted. That's when the Holy Spirit is most known and understood. You can't talk about the Holy Spirit without immediately talking about the person and work of Christ. And that's why the Catechism says that the Holy Spirit's role is to make us a partaker of Christ and all His benefits. Benefits includes being under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, who reminds us through the Word of God of the perfect obedience and the perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. benefits that include being sanctified daily. To be sanctified means to be set apart or cleansed from all your unrighteousness. And every single person here in this room struggles with their sin. Anger, impatience, worrying, grumbling, complaining, lust. We all have something that we know needs to be changed. Perhaps it could be a habit, it could be an attitude in our hearts. And we know that if that habit or if that attitude gets out of control on a bad day, without the work and preserving work of the Holy Spirit, it can bring great harm to our relationships, to your family, to your marriage. As Galatians 5 says, that the lust of the flesh and the spirit conflict with one another. They're at odds with one another. But thanks be to God that Christ abides with us through His Holy Spirit. He is there to convict us when we give in to our sin, and He is there to remind us that the remaining sin that we fight against has been covered by the blood of Jesus. He reminds us that this sin will not always remain, but that there will be an end to the presence of our sin. The Spirit is there to assure us that Christ abides with us forever. Amen.